Ah, earnings season, the good and the bad.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's the Morning Open. A look at the economy this morning as trading gets underway about 20 minutes into the day. Anemic earnings, a battle over books, and the majors are hoping for a ratings home run. But first, where's Wall Street? Numbers are down right now. The S&P down about 0.75%. The NASDAQ down about 0.6%. And the Dow down 72 points at 99.91, under that 10,000 mark. European markets are lower right now by as much as 1%. And Asian shares didn't do much today, didn't even budge for the most part. General Electric reported profits were cut nearly in half in the third quarter. That's better than expected, though. And Bank of America lost $1 billion in the third quarter. That's worse than expected. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesro Financial. She joins us live from Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So B of A is in worse shape than we thought. Clearly, they're not doing as well as, say, the J.P. Morgan Chases and the Goldman Sachs of the world. I mean, what do you think's going on? And what will the story be, Diane, say a year from now for B of A and Citigroup?
Well, I think what we're seeing is the black and blue market. Those stocks that are posting strong increases into the black are stocks that were companies that were in very good shape before the crisis, weathered the crisis well, and didn't have a lot of problems associated with the crisis. So they're emerging good today, the J.P. Morgans, the Goldman Sachs out there. On the other side, B of A clearly had problems during the crisis with its accumulation of Countrywide, Merrill Lynch, and all the controversy surrounding that. And we're starting to see those companies like GE, B of A, that had more exposure to the problems that we've seen over the last year are the ones that are sort of more battered. They're black and blue. They're not just black. They're black and blue. They're really beaten out there.
Yeah. How about a quick word on industrial production? That's sort of the bright spot of the morning. The Fed says it rose in September, right?
Yeah, what we did is the residual effects of the cash for clunkers. There's no cars on dealer lots right now, and the residual effect is that we're getting continued increases in production, very important in carrying the economy and bridging this very weak period in employment. So that was good news, and it is some confirmation that cash for clunkers had more than just a one-time effect on sales because it's helping production as well.
All right, Diane Swonk joining us from Chicago this morning. Diane, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk about General Electric. You heard Diane Swonk speak about GE Capital. Well, GE is a complicated blend of businesses, and that means some parts of it are doing better than others, as Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
GE is really a few companies rolled into one. Analysts are worried about GE Capital, its finance unit. For one thing, it holds a lot of subprime mortgages in the UK rather than the US. Morningstar analyst Daniel Holland says that's not all. He says GE Capital does normal bank stuff, like lending money to other companies.
Or to help out with financing inventories, leasing jet aircraft, things like that.
And like other banks, it's taken a big hit during the recession. On the other hand, even though demand for heavy equipment has fallen,
their gas turbine business is doing really well. They're in the top, you know, in the top two or so of wind turbine manufacturers, and they stand to benefit.
GE stands to get billions in stimulus money for its green technologies within a few years. And Holland says the company's industrial side should prosper in the next decade. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
It's a price war in the book business. Walmart and Amazon are going at it just in time for the holidays. Marketplace's Steve Henn has more.
Walmart fired the first shot. Yesterday, it slashed the price of 10 highly anticipated new hardcover books to just $10 if customers pre-ordered online. Within hours, Amazon matched the offer. But Walmart wasn't going to be outdone. Now it's promising to drop its prices to just $9 by this morning. Joe Feldman at the Telsey Group says the only way Amazon and Walmart are making money on this is if they've negotiated big price cuts from publishers.
The big issue is how much they can leverage their buying power.
Feldman says driving traffic to their sites will help generate additional sales. Still,
the publishing industry could be under pressure from this.
Feldman says Walmart's clearly signaling its intention to be a top competitor in the online world. And as in every other business, Walmart will get there by pushing for price cuts. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
From the Help Wanted department, a translation firm in Britain, is looking to hire people with a specific linguistic skill, fluency in Glaswegian. That's the tongue spoken in the Scottish city of Glasgow. More from Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard.
Glaswegian English has baffled visitors for years. The heavy accent alone renders it hard to follow, but add the rapid delivery and the local patois, and it's incomprehensible to the outside world. Take the word toty, for example. It means small, or hee-haw, for nothing, or the phrase shoot the craw, to leave in a hurry. Very quaint for tourists, but Glasgow is growing as a business centre. The language barrier is becoming a problem. Jurga Zelinskien of the London interpreting firm Today Translations.
We had had some requests from our clients who were in need of some assistance when they were holding the meetings in Glasgow with local people. This is one of the reasons that we advertise for Glaswegian interpreters.
Business visitors who want to go it alone in Glasgow are advised at least to take a phrasebook. And whatever you say in this famously tough city, try not to invite what they call a Glasgow kiss. In American English, it's a headbutt. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
In December, the United Nations sponsors climate change talks in Copenhagen. And to be successful, a lot of players, countries, have to get on the same page about climate-affecting greenhouse gases. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is here to talk about it this morning. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
So what does the U.S. take to Copenhagen?
That's the big question mark. The House passed a bill last June that sets an overall cap on carbon emissions, and the Kerry-Boxer bill is moving through the Senate. It's very similar.
And it's just a matter of reconciling these two bills, and then the president signs it before Copenhagen?
Not quite that simple. The real politics here aren't domestic. They're between the United States and China, the world's two biggest emitters of greenhouse gases by humans. China says these bills don't go nearly far enough to reduce carbon. A lot of the debate, Steve, is over the base year from which you measure how much progress you've made on pollution. China and most developing nations want to use 1990. But by that standard, we here in the United States are offering very little. By the year 2020, for example, the cap in the House bill would get us to just about 3% under where we were in 1990.
And why are China, Bob, and other developing nations insisting we do so much more?
Well, so they can do less. They say they are developing, so their consumers should have the same rights to cars and appliances America and other developed nations have long had.
So what's in store then?
It may be awkward, Steve. The president picks up his Nobel Peace Prize in Oslo on December 11th. And then he comes to Copenhagen a week later with very little to offer except the audacity of hope.
Former Labor Secretary and current Professor of Public Policy Robert Reich. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Professional baseball's league championship series are underway, and major leagues have got to be pleased that the remaining teams play in three of the four biggest TV markets in this country. But even that may not be enough to help baseball's declining ratings, as reporter Joel Rose explains.
Officials at Fox, the network that will broadcast the World Series, are probably hoping for a rematch between two of baseball's oldest rivals, the Yankees and the Dodgers.
But it's no longer a subway series. The Dodgers, once located in Brooklyn, now belong to Los Angeles.
The two teams have met in the World Series 11 times over the years. They also happen to play in the country's two biggest media markets.
Yankees-Dodgers, from a ratings and market perspective, would be huge.
Robert Seidman co-writes the blog TV by the Numbers. No matter which teams get to the Fall Classic, Seidman says TV executives will be rooting for a long and dramatic playoffs.
More than the market, what matters to the TV networks in the end is volume, and so more games is better.
Seidman says ratings from the first round of the playoffs were encouraging, but he doubts that even a Yankees-Dodgers series would reverse decades of declining viewership for the World Series. Last year's matchup between Tampa Bay and Philadelphia was the lowest rated ever. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Hey, share your home run stories with us. How's the recession affecting you? Check us out at marketplace.org. From Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great weekend. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too.
Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.